Before we start, I'm going to ask you to do one thing as an item of business, and that is if anybody has a cell phone that's turned on, please turn your cell phone off. As everyone grabs their books. Regents of the university, chancellors, distinguished guests, colleagues, family, friends. I'm Dave Klieger, Provost and Executive Vice Chancellor here at UC Santa Cruz. It's my privilege to welcome you all as we celebrate the extraordinary life and achievements in the memory of UCSC's ninth chancellor, Denise D. Denton. We're joined today by family, friends, supporters, and colleagues of Chancellor Denton, including local and state governmental officials and their representatives, as well as industry people who work with Chancellor Denton. Also in attendance are UCSC Foundation trustees, donors, alumni, professional colleagues from across the country, and UCSC students, staff, and faculty. We're especially gratified, and I'm especially gratified, that France A. Cordova, Chancellor of UC Riverside, has agreed to preside at these ceremonies. Chancellor Cordova is a close friend and colleague of Chancellor Denton. Please welcome Chancellor France A. Cordova.
Good morning, President Dines, fellow chancellors, Provost Klieger, and members of the Santa Cruz family, Chancellor Emeritus Marcy Greenwood, representatives from the entire UC community, Carolyn Mabee, family of Denise, and Gretchen. Vibrant, energetic, visionary, committed, creative, tireless, passionate, gifted, accomplished. All words used to describe our friend, our Chancellor Denise Denton. She has been called a rare gift, a vigorous leader, a trailblazer. But arguably, what people will remember most about Denise Denton is her unwavering commitment. Martin Luther King said, "Our lives begin to end the day we become silent about things that matter." Denise was never silent about things that matter. With laptop in hand and armed with facts and figures, humor and analogies, she was eager to show you, individually or in front of a crowd of hundreds, the evidence for why change was needed. She was a resolute and articulate spokesperson for the nation on the need to increase the pipeline of women and minorities in science and engineering careers. During her inaugural address as chancellor, she said, "Not content with thinking at the edge, let's embrace the challenge to lead at the edge, to build on our past accomplishments, and to continue to make a difference in a society that is rife with challenges affecting everyone on the planet." And that is how she lived her life. Because she wanted to make a difference, the things that mattered to her were of a consequence to a nation seeking its way in the face of threats to national security, global competitiveness, and challenged with educating successfully a growing diverse population. The theme of her inauguration, held in this auditorium, was achieving excellence through diversity, a call to action. Denise Denton believed deeply in what she espoused, led by example, and was an inspiration for girls and women in every arena, from kindergarten through the professoriate. Denise made a difference in the lives of many people, some of whom have never met her, but who have benefited nevertheless from the causes she held dear. Long before I met Denise, I had heard of her and her work. She was not afraid to speak out. She battled for social justice, prevailed against institutional barriers, and challenged traditional thinking. She did these things because they mattered, not only to her personally, but to society at large. As a tribute of the great respect and esteem accorded to her by the Academy, Chancellor Denton was given this year the prestigious Mariah Mitchell Award for Women in Science. And just this week, as you'll hear a little bit more about later, a National Academy report that is coming out soon called Maximizing the Potential of Women in Academic Science and Engineering was dedicated to Denise. Denise's influence and spirit are evoked by the voices of the chancellors who each month shared a day with her and with each other, and every 2 months shared an intimate dinner before the regents' meetings, a dinner in which we discussed life, the university, and everything. One chancellor writes, "I have lost a newfound friend whose imagination, intelligence, and commitment to the purposes of higher education were second to none." Another says, "Denise and I became very good friends. I was always particularly impressed by her commitment to excellence and by how creative she was in her ideas on how to educate well." Another chancellor says, "She was a tireless worker for rights and opportunities of others, and her passionate leadership in improving higher education has been an inspiration to all of us who had the privilege to work with her." Even more, however, she was a treasured friend. And another chancellor, "Denise was a gifted and accomplished colleague with so much potential that tragically will now go unrealized. The UC family has suffered a great loss." And from a female chancellor of a university back east, "This tragedy is a call to all of us to continue the highest forms of leadership in achieving equity, diversity, and educational excellence for all, and to support each other in doing so." I return to King's quote, "Our lives begin to end the day we become silent about things that matter." The things that mattered last week matter even more today. Your presence here today, your commemoration of the life and spirit of Denise, mean that her day continues. And now let me introduce the president of the University of California, Bob Dines.
Thank you, friends. Friends, several times over the past 5 days, I've logged onto the UC Santa Cruz website, as perhaps many of you have, and I watched a video of a radiant woman in a bright blue dress affirm her passions and hopes for this university community. Most of us were here in this hall 7 months ago when she spoke with eloquence in several languages of her vision of the future of this campus. She challenged us to see the differences as strengths to build upon and as opportunities to grow. She implored us to live the principles of community that she alleged appeared on what she called those ubiquitous posters by showing respect for each other even when we disagree. And she reminded us that, and I quote, "Achieving diversity requires that we be in it for the long haul. It's not something that we can ever really finish, but a commitment that we address steadily, patiently, consistently," unquote. Throughout her 46 years on this earth, Denise was a pioneer in many ways. A person who turned beliefs into actions, into change on many fronts. I saw that from the moment I first met her. I knew her pioneering spirit would be a wonderful fit for this particular campus, for this pioneering campus. On a more personal note, Denise's courage and enthusiasm were highly contagious. I think Frant said it clearly amongst the chancellors. The chancellors formed this special bond. Denise was part of that. She didn't get the meaning, she didn't really get or understand the meaning of the word impossible. And if you spent time with her, you started to have the same feeling that the word impossible shouldn't exist in the English language. Denise fell in love with this extraordinary campus at first sight. In her 15 months as chancellor, she showed an absolute personal dedication to its students, to its faculty, to its staff, to its alumni, to its constituents, and the citizens that this campus serves throughout the region, the state, the country. I have watched that video of Denise and her investiture address. I think I've been struck most, in retrospect especially, by the last line of her speech, taken from one of the world's oldest languages, Jacta Alia Est. Those Latin words were spoken by Julius Caesar as he crossed the Rubicon. They mean the die is cast, and they signify a determination to move forward into new territories. Boy, was she determined. In a short time with us, Denise moved us forward into new territories of excellence and inclusiveness. Along the way, she inspired us by her own example to strive always to be better people. On behalf of the entire University of California, let me extend deepest sympathies to Gretchen, our colleague, her partner, to her mother, Carolyn, to her sisters, Derry, Michelle, to her brother, Darren, and her close friend, Diana. And let me end by asking a favor of everyone here and listening to this, either in real time or later, a way for us to honor Denise's memory as we move forward without her physically. Whenever you walk past one of those ubiquitous posters of the principles of community, picture that radiant woman in that bright blue dress. Remember the vision she had for that for this university, and do whatever you can to carry out that vision. Thank you.
Carl Pfister, UC Santa Cruz Chancellor Emeritus, is unable to attend due to a previous commitment, so he asked that I read the following statement from him. It is with sincere regret that a long-standing commitment makes it impossible for me to be present to honor the memory of Chancellor Denton. I have known and worked with Denise in a number of capacities, going back to the time of her doctorate at MIT. She shared with me both her trials and successes in her brief but brilliant career. Her passion for equality of opportunity for all persons is a legacy that she leaves to challenge us all. We can and must honor her by continuing the work that she most ably led by her example. May I extend to her family, her friends, and all the UC community my deepest sympathy on the loss of a brilliant colleague, Carl Pfister. And now we'll begin with some short tributes to Denise from people who have worked with her at various levels in her role as chancellor, and they'll offer different perspectives on her personality and her character, her devotion to UC Santa Cruz. Leading will be Anu Luther, president of the Santa Cruz Foundation Board, followed by Angela Davis, professor of the History of Consciousness and Feminist Studies, and then Pat Tokiuchi, Assistant Director of Financial Planning and Analysis on behalf of the staff, and finally, Amelia Timbers, a UC Santa Cruz student.
Good morning. I'm Anu Luther, President of the UCSC Foundation Board. In my semi-official capacity here today, I will allow myself the luxury to be semi-sentimental. I hope Denise knew from my unwavering support for her how much I admired and loved her, but I will always regret that I did not tell her so. My friend, Vikram Seth, the poet, wrote these words years ago, but only so that Denise and I could have a conversation today, and one that you could listen into. Denise goes first. The bay is thick with flecks of white. The freezing air is honed and thinned. The gulls sleep on the stones tonight, wings locked against the prising wind. With no companion to my mood, against the wind as it should be, I walk, but in my solitude, bow to the wind that buffets me. A year ago, I saw Denise walk towards me, and indeed against the wind. We shook hands, and I turned around to walk with her. We connected over a shared intellectual position, but never before had I met a leader with her fierce emotional dedication to the cause of the underprivileged and the disenfranchised. And we all watched her as she resolutely translated that passion into action. Over the year, Denise did walk mostly in solitude, but it allowed the musician in her to compose. I am amazed at how productive she was in assembling her leadership team together in such a short time, her orchestra as it were. This university now has the extreme privilege of owning and the option of playing that equal music in which diversity and excellence are in a quietly assured harmony. The Foundation trustees will remain ever grateful to Denise that her last major public commitment to the university was the intense 2 days that she spent with us earlier this month, and we look forward to continuing to work together. Yes, Denise finally bowed to the buffeting wind, but here is my response to her, also scripted by Vikram. Music, such music, is a sufficient gift. Why ask for happiness? Why hope not to grieve? It is enough. It is to be blessed enough to live from day to day and to hear such music. Not too much, or the soul could not sustain it from time to time. Thank you.
I am Angela Davis, Professor of History of Consciousness and Feminist Studies here at UCSC. A great privilege was bestowed upon the UCSC community when Denise Denton accepted the chancellorship of our university. And from the outset, she informed us that her style of leadership was designed to accelerate change. And thus she urged us to embrace social justice not simply as an ideal to be accomplished elsewhere and on a grand scale, but rather also as a practical strategy for the local transformation of this university. Chancellor Denton sparked controversy. She refused, for example, to endorse widely accepted explanations for the underrepresentation of Native and African Americans among the students, faculty, and staff here on this campus. And almost immediately, she announced plans for a far-reaching diversity initiative that would hopefully lead us toward racial, gender, class, and sexual inclusion. I was among those who welcomed her unequivocal approach to practical social justice. But at times it seemed that many of us were too ensconced in the quotidian realities of an institution that seemed to function well on its own terms to prepare for profound change. But then Chancellor Denton resolved to do whatever was necessary to persuade her community that change would be good for all of us. And indeed, she used her investiture not as an occasion for the usual ritual and ceremony, but rather to initiate a conversation across the campus on the relationship between diversity and excellence. She arrived on this campus with an extraordinary record of leading transformative efforts at MIT and the University of Wisconsin, and especially in the School of Engineering at the University of Washington. She had already forged a national reputation as a prominent advocate for women in the sciences, from individual mentoring of graduate students and junior faculty to the leadership of national organizations and campaigns. Everywhere, Denise Denton was embraced as a pioneer and a champion. On this campus, she continued her advocacy for women, for people of color in the sciences, taking time to mentor junior faculty here despite the swirling controversies. And even as she courageously faced unrelenting homophobic attacks. We were graced for a short while by the presence of this pioneer, this champion. Chancellor Denton passionately and purposefully defended her vision of a more robust and more inclusive university. While her tragically brief tenure did not allow her to accomplish all the goals she had set for herself, and indeed for all of us, she did nonetheless manage to create a powerful legacy. And therefore, our most appropriate tribute to Denise Denton will be to embrace and bring to fruition that legacy of excellence through diversity. And I look forward to participating in this process of honoring her legacy.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us this morning to share and support our UC Santa Cruz community during this challenging time. My name is Pat Takeuchi, and I'm a staff member here at UC Santa Cruz and serve on the staff advisory board. I've worked for the UC system for 29 plus years, and I've met a lot of chancellors and leaders within the UC system. So I'd like to share my perspective of Denise Denton. Professionally, people have been talking and writing about Denise's accomplishments, which are many, to be so bright and gifted. The one thing that stands out most for me was how she stood up for diversity in very concrete ways. We all talk about diversity, but few of us actually create teaching and supportive environments for learning about differences and tolerance. Diversity issues are supported in text, in conversation, and much in marketing documents. But very few leaders actually step forward and take the risk of making it one of their measurements of their own success. Just the idea of standing up against the Harvard president and publicly refuting his remarks about some possible innate differences between women and men wouldn't have been possible for most people to say, but Denise did it. We often have much to say about inequalities. From my view, staff live and breathe it every day of their lives. But to speak out was a teaching moment. Few accomplished this. I believe she spoke for people who neither had the means nor access to make such a bold statement. I'd like to share two personal little glimpses I observed in my interactions with Denise, which spoke volumes to me about what was really important to her. The Staff Advisory Board was one of the first groups to meet with the Chancellor when she came to our campus. And when we walked into her office, the first thing you saw were flowers. There were flowers everywhere. They were on her desk, they were even on the floor. Now, to make small talk, we kind of joked around, and a couple of us pointed to the most expensive, humongous arrangement. We said, oh, you know, Chancellor, I think the florist made a mistake, and they inadvertently forgot to put the welcome card from the Staff Advisory Board. I know she appreciated the flowers, but what impressed me most was she seemed to be genuinely pleased and felt, she just kept, you know how she used to get those little sparkly eyes? She seemed to be really pleased that the campus was really welcoming her. Once we went around the room and introduced ourselves, we discussed some major staff issues with the chancellor, which were well received. Some she took immediate action. Others, she was working very hard behind the scenes to get more clarity, understanding, and support. Denise wanted, in her interaction with us, to share two of her first experiences about the UCSC community that hinted to me what she was looking forward to in working with all of us. Her first was about how the children from our campus childcare brought over Valentine's for her. It's one of the slides that was in the presentation earlier before we began our program. There are approximately 100 children on our campus who are taking care at our child care facilities here. And you could tell that she was so touched by the children coming to see her. Later, her staff recalled to us that she basically ignored the parents and forgot her schedule and visited with the children. Her second story was how some of the dining services staff had welcomed her by delivering some great tamales made in one of our dining halls here on campus. And if you haven't experienced one of our dining halls, the staff in our dining halls chop, wash, cook, and prepare over 2.4 million meals a year for our residential students. The staff were kind enough to welcome her to our community, and I knew she appreciated the gesture because she referred to those tamales many times. Finally, in trying to write my speech and adding a closing comment to share with you, I really couldn't come up with anything, and I was really frustrated. But it was the end of the day, so I turned off my computer and got in my van pool. As is often the case, our group is a little more talkative on the ride home than at 6:30 in the morning when we get up to get into the van pool to come to the university. Occasionally, someone will share a little triumph or frustration that they've experienced that day. Well, one staff member shared that being in Kerr Hall, where the chancellor's office is, was difficult right now, and we asked her why. She said there were so many flowers everywhere. She said it really affected her. And we turned to her and said, oh, you mean it affected your allergies? And she said, no, it affected my heart. Thank you.
My name is Amelia Timbers. I recently graduated UCSC in Environmental Studies. I was a Good Neighbor Initiative intern in the Chancellor's Undergraduate Internship Program last year. The entire CUIP class is extremely mournful. We had unique opportunities to interact with the Chancellor personally. I would like to quote Mariah Mitchell, who was a 19th century female astronomer and the first female appointed to the National Academy of Sciences. Mariah Mitchell lived on Nantucket, a small island off Massachusetts where I've spent a significant part of my life. Chancellor Denton recently won the prestigious award named after Mitchell that goes to prolific women in science. Although their lives were a century apart, I see enormous commonalities in their commitments to advancing women in science. Mitchell once said, "We learn to live in the universe as part of it. We cannot separate ourselves from it. Our every act connects us with it. Our every act affects the whole." Chancellor Denton affected the whole. What I want to share is a special way that talking with the Chancellor made a person feel valued. She gave all students the opportunity, through her frequent college visits and unusual accessibility, to communicate with the person who had the most influence over their lives at UCSC, and to then have that person listen. Further, no matter how critical the thoughts you expressed were, she, in all of my experiences, respected them and supported us voicing them. Even in situations where students or neighbors were assailing her with emotionally charged attacks, she never condescended. Instead, she answered critics calmly, respectfully, and with brave honesty I've never witnessed before. Despite her rank and intellect, she treated everyone as if she had something to learn from them. Her ability to make the people around her feel more empowered and valued by genuinely validating them is astronomically rare. In the sense that everyone has value, which she consistently emphasized in both policy and daily life, is the core of justice. Thank you.
Thank you, Amelia. Now, Professor Anatole Lakin will play a selection from Mozart's Sonata in F major, the second movement.
Thank you.
Thank you, Professor Lakin. Now I'd like to introduce Professor Alice Agogino of UC Berkeley, who will offer a summary of Chancellor Denton's life and career achievements. Professor Agogino's work with Chancellor Denton goes back nearly 20 years. Recently, they served together as members of the National Research Council's Board on Education and Women in Academic Science and Engineering Committee. Alice.
I am honored to present a tribute to Chancellor Denton's academic accomplishments. I have worked hard to summarize them in 15 minutes, not an easy task given her resume is 50 pages long. I thank all of her friends and colleagues who helped me write this tribute. Chancellor Denise D. Denton exemplified the ideal academic with strengths in all areas of academic achievement, disciplinary research, innovative approaches to education, and a dedication to service. For the last 20 years, her contributions have had profound impact in academe, industry, and the public. She shaped the direction of our nation's science and engineering enterprise through her research, teaching, technology development, service, leadership, mentoring, public communication of science and engineering, initiatives to promote diversity and inclusion, and K through 12 outreach. Chancellor Denton earned a PhD in electrical engineering at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology with a doctoral thesis titled Moisture Transport and Polyimide Films in Integrated Circuits. She also received a Bachelor of Science and a Master of Science degrees at MIT as well. I didn't know her as a student at MIT, but those who did say she showed early academic promise and leadership skills. And yes, she fought some good battles there. I recall her telling me that she was concerned about the climate of the women students there and was very active in exposing problems and making improvements. She developed and taught a course for women students that, for many, served as their first academic exposure to engineering and technology. Years later, she would be asked to return to serve on MIT's advisory board for initiatives to diversify the professoriate. I first met Denise at a ceremony honoring awardees of the prestigious Presidential Young Investigators, PYI Awards, from the National Science Foundation, which have now morphed into the NSF Career Awards. There were only 25 awards given out every year in a highly competitive process that included approval of the President of the United States. Denise won the PYI in 1987. I had won it a few years earlier in 1985. Her future partner, Gretchen Kalanji, won an inaugural award in 1984. Our award certificates were huge. They stood on our walls. They were huge. They were signed by Ronald Reagan. And although absolutely thrilled to win the award, we did get a chuckle out of having his signature on the walls in our offices. In 1990, Joe Bordonia, the Assistant Director of Engineering at NSF, sponsored a Presidential Young Investigator Colloquium on U.S. Engineering, Mathematics, and Science Education in the year 2010. Denise was nominated to attend for her demonstrable concern for pre-college and undergraduate education and for their potential for the future academic leadership. The charge of the group was to state their vision and recommendations on how to achieve high-quality pre-college and undergraduate instruction in engineering, mathematics, and sciences for everyone by the year 2010. NSF's Sue Chemnitzer marked this colloquial as Denise's emergence as a national leader in engineering and higher education. Denise focused her PYI research on developing the foundation for what would become leading-edge research in MEMS, microelectronical mechanical systems technology, such as her work in materials development and processing for fabrication of microdynamical optical switches. She published over 100 research papers in her discipline. Her most recent work focused on micron-level enabling technologies in life sciences and neurobiology. She served in a number of high-level advisory capacities in her disciplinary research. She served on the National Research Council's Committee on Advanced Materials and Fabrication Methods for MEMS and was on a number of NSF advisory boards. Most recently, she served on the advisory board for NSF's Nanoscale Science and Engineering Program and the selection committee for NSF's Alan Waterman Award, a $500,000 award, which goes to the most outstanding scientist, mathematician, or engineer under 35. In 2004, George W. Bush, president, appointed Janice Denton to the National Medal of Science Selection Committee, charged with selecting the recipient of our nation's highest award for distinguished contributions to science. The quality of Denise Denton's research won her wide acclaim, and she could have had a place in academic history just based on her contributions to her discipline. But Denise had much more to offer. Starting as an assistant professor at the University of Wisconsin-Madison in 1987 in the departments of electrical engineering and computer science, she made profound changes to academia in the nation, leaving a rich legacy. While at Wisconsin, Denise became recognized as a national leader in engineering education, chaired the National Academies Board on Engineering Education, and took the lead of a number of K-12 projects. My favorite is the development of a microfabrication kit for use in K-12 settings. Her accomplishments and recognition did not come easily. As the first woman in the Department of Electrical and Computer Engineering and one of the few women in the College of Engineering's faculty of 180 at Wisconsin, her struggles against gender discrimination during her first few years at Wisconsin are legendary. During her second year at Wisconsin, she walked into her building and was stopped by a man changing the locks to the shared microfabrication clean roomer in the department. Her so-called faculty mentor, the director of the lab, had the locks changed so she and her students couldn't get in. He was keeping Denise from doing her research. Without laboratory research, Denise had no hope of making progress on her tenure clock, and as she says, the clock was ticking. She got no support from her department chair or the dean at the time. She engaged a lawyer, and finding allies across the campus, the provost finally stepped in. Years later, as a member of the advisory board for the Radcliffe Science Institute, I had an opportunity to speak with the infamous Larry Summers, former president of Harvard, about why his remarks struck such a raw nerve with participants like Denise who were in the room. He had said that discrimination, such as what Denise had faced, was a tertiary reason why women did not succeed in science or engineering, speculating that the primary reason was, one, women didn't work hard enough, and two, it's in the genes. I'll say just a bit about Larry Summers and Denise's role later. Denise's goal of making technical opportunities and understanding of the physical world accessible and attractive to a broad range of people was the foundation of a number of major NSF projects that she created, championed, and led. One of these, the National Institute for Science Education, NICE, was focused on increasing interest in science and mathematics from kindergarten to college students. NICE was particularly revolutionary because it represented one of the first partnerships between a school of education and a school of engineering to solve very hard educational problems. Denise co-directed the College of Engineering's Manufacturing Engineering Education for the Future grant and founded the National Institute for Science Education, which was housed in the Wisconsin Center for Education Research. The Institute was a collaborative effort of the College of Agriculture and Life Sciences, the School of Education, the College of Engineering, and the College of Letters and Sciences. At Wisconsin, Denise was an extremely popular and effective teacher. To quote Joe Handelsman, Howard Hughes Medical Institute professor at the UW-Madison Department of Plant Pathology, she was a towering figure in science, education, and social justice. She was a terrific scientist, an innovative educator, and a fierce advocate for women and minorities in higher education. Her passion and tireless work on every educational agenda she embraced made her emblematic of the best and purest aspects of higher education. In addition to the Presidential Young Investigator Award, during her tenure in Wisconsin, Denise Denton earned an incredible number of other awards. She won the Harriet B. Riggs Award from the Institute of Electrical and Electronics Engineering in 1995 and was cited as, quote, an exceptionally innovative instructor, noted for her teaching techniques, enhancing local and national engineering education and relating them to real-world problems. She also won the George Washington Award for Excellence in Engineering Education from the American Society of Engineering Education 1995, the W.M. Keck Foundation Engineering Teaching Excellence Award, the Benjamin Smith Reynolds Teaching Award, the Etta Kappa Nu C. Holmes McDonald Distinguished in Electrical Engineering National Teaching Award, the American Society of Engineering Education AT&T Foundation Teaching Award, and the Kaikoffer Distinguished Teaching Award from the University of Wisconsin. Denise left Wisconsin in 1996 to become Dean of the College of Engineering and Professor of Electrical Engineering at the University of Washington, the first woman to hold a position at an NRC-designated Research 1 university. She brought the university up in national rankings and significantly increased the level of industry and foundation funding. Ed Lazowska, Bill and Melinda Gates Chair in Computer Science and Engineering at the University of Washington, was immediately impressed with her. To quote him, she was smart, she was articulate. I quickly learned that she also possessed enormous measures of vision, courage, integrity, and backbone. Denise was strong. She faced adversity at every stage of her career. She met it head on, and she had emerged a winner, improving all of those around her. She had so much more to give, and she deserved so much better than she got. During her 9 years as Dean of Engineering at the University of Washington, Denise worked with her faculty to launch innovative new education programs sponsored by NSF, including the NSF Graduate Teaching Fellows in K-12 Education, Do It, a program for persons with disabilities, and the Advanced Institutional Transformation Award. She created programs and strategies to match school-age girls with university students working on robotics and web design projects. She served as the principal investigator for the Advanced Grant to eliminate barriers for women in science, engineering, and math workplaces. She supported junior faculty in grants writing with the results that sponsored research funding for the College of Engineering more than doubled during her tenure as dean. As dean, she was the first in the country to recognize the need for a research approach to understanding learning in engineering, and in the 1998 developed Washington Center for Engineering Learning and Teaching, the first center in the nation in a College of Engineering to combine research and faculty in a development mission. She was tireless in her efforts to raise an endowment to support the center. And just before she left for Santa Cruz, she was successful in obtaining $2 million for an endowed chair for the center director, Cindy Atman. Since its inception, the center has had noticeable local, national, and even international impact. The Colorado School of Mines started a center for engineering education patterned after it, and a number of other universities, including Brown, Ohio State, Michigan, University of Texas Austin, Vanderbilt, use the center as a model for their own institutions. Further, the National Academy of Engineering started the Center of Advancement of Scholarship, modeled after this center. Denise continued to build partnerships and collaborative projects at Washington. Funded at $11 million from NSF, the Center for the Advancement of Engineering Education focused on advancing our understanding of how people became engineers. Denise's vision and energy are the basis for this ongoing work. Stanford's Sherry Shepard says, Denise's intellect, good humor, and inclusive nature were key to putting together a highly productive team of diverse faculty, deans, and graduate student researchers. Denise was a champion for student empowerment and voice, and there are many stories about what she's done. I'll just give you one example. When she discovered that a student demonstration at the UCSC campus career fair last April was classified by the Pentagon as a credible threat to national security, she wasted no time defending students and protesting to Congress and the Bush administration. Her courageous and quick response was heard around the country. Even with all of these remarkable academic achievements, Denise might best be remembered for the extraordinary quality and high impact of her contributions as a mentor, inspirational speaker, and role model. She earned an international reputation for effective advocacy supporting access to science, math, and engineering opportunities for women and minorities. In May 2004, Denton was among 9 scholars honored by the White House with a Presidential Award for Excellence in Science, Mathematics, and Engineering Mentoring, recognizing her role as a major leader in enhancing diversity. As Chancellor of UC Santa Cruz, Denise also won the 2006 Maria Mitchell Women in Science Award, as was mentioned earlier, a prestigious national recognition of her exceptional work. Most recently, she won the 2006 Educator of the Year Award, National Organization of Gay and Lesbian Scientists and Technical Professionals. In addition to student mentoring and giving of herself as a role model, Denise had huge impact as a mentor of mentors, mentoring women and minorities further along in the academic pipeline. Her contributions include developing programs to mentor junior faculty on strategies for success in academia, efforts to enhance the ethnic and gender diversity of science and engineering faculty, and the personal mentoring of senior faculty and higher administrators. The big win of this activity has been an exponential increase in the number of women and minority students affected as each of the mentors succeeds in his or her careers and is thus able to mentor others. One of her mentees, Mary Lindstrom, Associate Dean for New Initiatives at Washington, sums it up with, "The most powerful effect of Denise's mentorship is the enthusiasm she instilled in me to do the same for others, passing on the skills I have learned in the same way she has done for me." I cannot speak of Denise's academic contributions to women in science and engineering without some mention of the Larry Summers incident. I mention this as an example of how she used wit and humor to turn around a damaging situation. On Monday, January 7th, 2005, I and others got email from Denise titled, "Denise Does Boston." Newsflash from Harvard president, "Girls can't do math." I was in Boston for 36 hours this week, bit of culture class. She goes on to talk about her experience at the conference. The dialogue she started with a colleague who was also there, Nancy Hopkins, led to a Tiger Team email list, as well as numerous conferences and events around the country. The tsunami that transpired, her words, motivated the National Academy to form the Committee on Maximizing the Potential of Women in Academic Science and Engineering. The committee is chaired by Donna Shalala, president of the University of Miami, former chancellor of the University of Wisconsin-Madison, and former U.S. Secretary of Health and Human Services under the Clinton administration. Donna Shalala has asked me to read to you a letter from her. "Denise Denton was an extraordinarily talented scholar, educational leader, and relentless voice for progress. She was bigger than life. She opened doors and stood in them to let others through. She mentored young scholars and students. Her enthusiasm for science was clear and infectious. She was a force, a magnificent force. She pushed the institutions she inhabited to be better than they wanted to be. The National Academy's Committee on Maximizing the Potential of Women in the Academic Science and Engineering will honor her memory by dedicating our upcoming report to her. This decision has been enthusiastically endorsed by the presidents of the National Academies, President Ralph Cicerone of the National Academy of Science, President Bill Wolf of the National Academy of Engineering, and President Harvey Feinberg of the Institute of Medicine. Denise was a first in most categories of the report. Being at the forefront made her a target. Her tragic death highlights that we have much further to go. She was an active committee member and also delivered the closing address at the committee's convocation on biological, social, and organizational components of success last December. In that address, she said, "I'm going to offer you a set of recommendations that will cost you nothing but courage. They can also be used more broadly, well beyond the hallowed halls, and thus impact the cross-institutional interlock, or as I would say as an electrical engineer, the system. First of all, we should have zero tolerance for bullying behavior. It should not be acceptable in the workplace or anywhere else. If you are an academic leader, you should confront faculty and others who are abusive to students, staff, and other faculty, particularly senior faculty. Tenure is not a license to kill. There are limits to acceptable behavior in the academy. How many of you have seen on an academic campus senior people with tenure over and over abuse people who are lower than them in the power structure, and nobody ever does anything? Why does that happen? Why do we let that happen? It's unacceptable. If you have issues with dealing with conflict, you are an academic leader. If you have issues with dealing with conflict and you are an academic leader, then you need to take a class. Get help. Seek support. People are afraid to confront each other, but we have to. It's our job. It's in the position description. We can learn from conflict. We do learn from conflict. Confront people's biases. When biases come out, if you're an academic leader or anything else, confront their biases. This last quote is very telling. And here is another one, and this is not a popular one, but I'm just throwing it in there. Support your local senior feminist colleague, male or female. It's lonely at the top. I cannot imagine a world without Denise. We have all lost a friend, a colleague, and a champion. We will miss her.
Thank you, Alice, and thank you, Denise. And now I'd like to invite Gretchen Kalonji to come to the podium.
Good morning, everyone. I'm very, very grateful that you're all able to be here today so that we can honor Denise together as a community. Of course, we've had a terrible loss. We lost a brave, noble, and incredibly effective warrior. But instead of focusing on that loss, I think we need to focus on how to transform that loss into a new and more powerful force for good. So, what's our secret weapon? Perhaps not so secret when we're in this room together and you can feel the vibrations, but our true ace in the hole asset is love. One of the most remarkable things in the past few days for me has been the outpouring, not only nationally, internationally, of these different clusters of Denise community, people whose lives she touched and people who loved her very, very deeply. So my thought is we need to find some new creative mechanisms to harness that love, to bundle it, to refocus it on a new concrete plan of action. You know, Denise was a very pragmatic person. She didn't like to just talk about things. She liked to get things done. And so we might try and figure out how we can create the Denise D. Denton Love Action Network. You know? So I've talked to a number of our friends and colleagues, talked to some of the chancellors, talked to President Dines about the idea of stepping back, doing some planning, and in the fall, having a major national level symposium in which we generate a concrete plan of action and which we try and harness the many, many people and communities who love Denise in some new and creative ways. Denise, I know you're listening now. A lucha continua. We're going to make you proud.
Now I'd like to ask the sisters of Denise, Derry Denton and Michelle Moore, to come to the podium. The remarks will be given by Derry.
Denise did not evolve. She arrived an explosion, a sonic boom. From the moment she was born, we knew she was something special, a unique individual, a gift from God. As a child, she was gregarious and precocious, reading the funny papers at age 3. For Denise, it wasn't about what was, but what could be. She drew outside the lines, ran with scissors, and spoke out of turn. Denise was not only strong-minded, but also innovative. No was never an option, just simply a nuisance. Her resourceful nature is renowned. Denise was an adventurer. She loved life. Each of us remembers the fun-loving, laughter-provoking Denise. We've all heard her escapades of her world travels. Her stories are legend, her love all-encompassing. Everything she did out of genuine love and caring. Every effort went to helping others and building up those she touched. She was selfless, and the accolades just seemed to follow naturally. The world knows her for her accomplishments. We know her as a loving, humorous, gentle, kind, and fun granddaughter, daughter, sister, niece, aunt, and friend. To know Denise was to love Denise. If Denise's mission in life had been to paint a wall mural, the result would have been the Sistine Chapel. And finally, our family would like to offer a sincere thank you for all of your kind support and prayers. God bless you all.
Thank you very much to all our speakers. Thank you to the administration, faculty, staff, and students of UC Santa Cruz for putting together this beautiful tribute. And thank you to the guests. You all have partaken in this very special moment to commemorate Denise. And now let's go and make her legacy live on. Thank you very much. This concludes our program.